May 25th. Our reading in the Old Testament today is from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1, through chapter 8, verse 18. How would you respond if God said no to one of your greatest ambitions, something that you were sure would please Him? Well, David wanted to build a house for the Lord, but God would not permit him to do so. David was disappointed, and his responses show us how to handle the disappointments of life. Number one, he submitted to God's will. David humbly accepted God's plan and did not try to change God's mind. He realized that God truly does know best. He listened to God's word. God would build a house, a family for David. The immediate reference is to Solomon, but ultimately the promise refers to Jesus Christ, the son of David. If God says no to something, it is so that he may say yes to something better. You can count on that. You can put your faith in that. And David gave himself to worship. See, David's words in verses 18 through 29, as we'll see as we read, emphasize the greatness and the grace of God. Who was David that God should call him and bless him? Who was Israel that God should choose them? And who are we that God should save us and bless us as he does? You know, it's been well said, disappointments are his appointments. David believed that. Do you? Have you learned that there can be a blessing in unanswered prayer? And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. May 25th, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, through chapter 8, verse 18. When the Lord had brought peace to the land, and King David was settled in his palace, David summoned Nathan the prophet. "Look," David said, "here I am living in this beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of God is out in a tent." Nathan replied, "Go ahead and do what you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the Lord said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a temple to live in? I have never lived in a temple from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until now. My home has always been a tent, moving from one place to another. And I have never once complained to Israel's leaders, the shepherds of my people Israel. I have never asked them, 'Why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar temple?' Now go and say to my servant David, 'This is what the Lord Almighty says. I chose you to lead my people Israel when you were just a shepherd boy, tending your sheep out in the pasture. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies. Now I will make your name famous throughout the earth, and I have provided a permanent homeland for my people Israel, a secure place where they will never be disturbed. It will be their own land, where wicked nations won't oppress them as they did in the past, from the time I appointed judges to rule my people, and I will keep you safe from all your enemies. And now the Lord declares that he will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die, I will raise up one of your descendants, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he sins, I will use other nations to punish him. But my unfailing love will not be taken from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your dynasty and your kingdom will continue for all time before me, and your throne will be secure forever." So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? And now, sovereign Lord, in addition to everything else, you speak of giving me a lasting dynasty. Do you deal with everyone this way, O sovereign Lord? What more can I say? You know what I am really like, sovereign Lord.
for the sake of your promise and according to your will, you have done all these great things and have shown them to me. How great you are, O sovereign Lord! There is none like you. There is no other God. We have never even heard of another God like you. What other nation on earth is like Israel? What other nation, O God, have you redeemed from slavery to be your own people? You made a great name for yourself when you rescued your people from Egypt. You performed awesome miracles and drove out the nations and gods that stood in their way. You made Israel your people forever, and you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord God, do as you have promised concerning me and my family. Confirm it as a promise that will last forever. And may your name be honored forever, so that all the world will say, "The Lord Almighty is God over Israel." And may the dynasty of your servant David be established in your presence. O Lord, Almighty God of Israel, I have been bold enough to pray this prayer because you have revealed that you will build a house for me, an eternal dynasty. For you are God, O sovereign Lord. Your words are truth, and you have promised these good things to me, your servant. And now, may it please you to bless me and my family so that our dynasty may continue forever before you. For when you grant a blessing to your servant, O sovereign Lord, it is an eternal blessing. After this, David subdued and humbled the Philistines by conquering Gath, their largest city. David also conquered the land of Moab. He made the people lie down on the ground in a row, and he measured them off in groups with a length of rope. He measured off two groups to be executed for every one group to be spared. The Moabites, who were spared, became David's servants and brought him tribute money. David also destroyed the forces of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah, when Hadadezer marched out to strengthen his control along the Euphrates River. David captured 1,700 charioteers and 20,000 foot soldiers. Then he crippled all but 100 of the chariot horses. When Arameans from Damascus arrived to help Hadadezer, David killed 22,000 of them. Then he placed several army garrisons in Damascus, the Aramean capital, and the Arameans became David's subjects and brought him tribute money. So the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David brought the gold shields of Hadadezer's officers to Jerusalem, along with a large amount of bronze from Hadadezer's cities of Teba and Berothai. When King Toai of Hamath heard that David had destroyed the army of Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to congratulate David on his success. Hadadezer and Toai had long been enemies, and there had been many wars between them. Joram presented David with many gifts of silver, gold, and bronze. King David dedicated all these gifts to the Lord, along with the silver and gold he had set apart from the other nations he had subdued, Edom, Moab, Ammon, Philistia, and Amalek, and from Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. So David became very famous. After his return, he destroyed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He placed army garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became David's subjects. This was another example of how the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. David reigned over all Israel and was fair to everyone. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was commander of the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the royal historian. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were the priests. Seraiah was the court secretary. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was captain of the king's bodyguard. David's sons served as priestly leaders. May 25th. We turn our attention now to the New Testament. Today's reading takes place in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 31, where we see that Jesus glorifies the Father. He does it through his people as they do God's works and keep his commandments. apart from the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer, we could never glorify God. Jesus and the Father dwell with us. That's good news, because He is Emmanuel, God with us. And it's one thing for us to go to heaven, and quite something else for heaven to come to us. There is a deeper fellowship with the Son and the Father for those who love Him and seek Him and obey Him. We experience His peace as we commune with the Father and the Son in love. Jesus is the way to the Father. He reveals the truth about the Father, and He shares the life of the Father with us. Why should our hearts be troubled? And as we read in John chapter 15 today, we read about His life. A branch is good for only one thing, bearing fruit. It may be weak in itself, but it has a living relationship with the vine and can be productive. To abide in Christ means to be in communion with Him so that our lives please Him. We know that we are abiding when the Father prunes us, cutting away the good so that we can produce the best. We glorify God with fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. We'll learn about His love as we read in John 15 today. Abiding depends on obeying, and obeying depends on loving. Love and joy go together and make it easy for us to obey His will. We should love Him, love His will, and love one another. And we'll learn about His name. We enjoy the love of Christ and of the brethren. But we also must endure the hatred of the world for His name's sake. The more we are like Christ, the more the world's system will oppose us. You can count on it. Depend on the Spirit's power, and you will be a fruitful, faithful Christian. And now, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. May 25th, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. If you love Me, Jesus, obey My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive Him, because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you do, because He lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In just a little while, the world will not see Me again, but you will. For I will live again, and you will too. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in My Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you. Those who obey My commandments are the ones who love Me. And because they love Me, My Father will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal Myself to each one of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to Him, Lord, why are You going to reveal Yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, All those who love Me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and live with them. Anyone who doesn't love Me will not do what I say. And remember, My words are not My own. This message is from the Father who sent Me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Counselor as My representative, and by the Counselor I mean the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I Myself have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love Me, you will be very happy for Me, because now I can go to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen so that you will believe when they do happen. I don't have much more time to talk to you, because the prince of this world approaches. He has no power over Me, but I will do what the Father requires of Me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. Today we're reading Psalm 119, verses 33 through 48. If you want real values, get them from the Word of God. How tragic that so many people waste time, energy, and money on things that amount to little or nothing. The Hebrew word translated worthless things, as we shall see, means that which is nothing. It's vanity because it's false. The word was used of idols. What your heart covets, your eyes will see, and then you will make some wrong decisions. And this is what happened to Lot. We'll learn about freedom as we read today in Psalm 119. Freedom is another blessing God will give you if you love and obey His word. His word is truth, and the truth sets you free. Disobedience may seem like freedom, but it really is bondage. When you obey God's word, you enjoy true freedom because His word is the law of liberty. Law and liberty are not enemies. No, they're co-workers in your life in building character and bringing joy. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 48. Teach me, O Lord, to follow every one of your principles. Give me understanding, and I will obey your law. I will put it into practice with all my heart. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Give me an eagerness for your decrees. Do not inflict me with love for money. Turn my eyes from worthless things, and give me life through your word. Reassure me of your promise, which is for those who honor you. Help me abandon my shameful ways. Your laws are all I want in life. I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with your goodness. Lord, give to me your unfailing love, the salvation that you promised me. Then I will have an answer for those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for my only hope is in your laws. I will keep on obeying your law forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I will speak to kings about your decrees, and I will not be ashamed. How I delight in your commands, how I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your principles. Proverbs 15, verse 33. Fear of the Lord teaches a person to be wise. Humility precedes honor.